Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp. Today we'll focus on Chapter 29. As will become evident, Yirmiyahu had to contend not only with false prognostications spread in Yerushalayim, but also with false prophets living among the exiles in Babylonia. You will recall that Nebuchadnezzar had deposed and eventually disposed of Jehoiakim, who had gone to battle against the Chaldean expansion into Syria and Eretz Yisrael. He then exiled Jehoiakim's son, Jehoiachin, who inherited the throne, along with the political and military elites, as well as some Kohanim and prominent teachers and spiritual advisors. Nebuchadnezzar then installed Jehoiakim's half-brother, Tzidkiyahu, as his sworn vassal to rule Judea and oversee the neighboring nations, such as Moab and Edom, living on the eastern bank of the Jordan River. As his hold on the Middle East was secured, Nebuchadnezzar established a steady line of communication between the capital of his empire and the outlying colonies. Our chapter transcribes a scroll that Yirmiyahu sent to his exiled countrymen through these official channels. Ve'ele divrei ha-sefer asher shalach Yirmiyahu ha-navi mi-Yerushalayim el yeter zikne ha-gola ve'el ha-kohanim ve'el ha-nevi'im ve'el kol ha-am asher hegla Nebuchadnezzar mi-Yerushalayim bavela. אחרי צאת יוחניה, המלך והגבירה והשריסים, שרי יהודה וירושלים והחרש והמסגר מירושלים. This is the text of the scroll that the prophet Yirmiyahu sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders in the diaspora and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiachin and the Queen Mother, the court officials and the leaders of Yehuda and Yerushalayim, the skilled workers and the artisans had gone into exile from Jerusalem. The term El Yeter Ziknei HaGola in this opening verse can suggest that Yirmiyahu had had contact with elders, Talmidei Chachomim, other than those remaining in Yerushalayim, who had stood up for and defended Yirmiyahu, as we saw in the previous chapter. But the phrase might also imply that a good number of the exiles, particularly the loyal leaders, did not survive the long and arduous trek from Yerushalayim to Babylonia. The elites, Hacharash v'Hamasger, first taken as captives, were not all treated gently, and they were kept prisoners in the capital of the empire. Thereafter, additional Jews would be exiled in various waves of captivity and joined the Jews who were settled in various surrounding towns to till the king's lands for a portion of the produce or as indentured servants working in various capacities for the Babylonian empire. Thus, Yirmiyahu sends the Jews of the first wave a message in verses 4 to 7. Kol amar Hashem tzvakot Elokei Yisrael lekol hagola asher higleiti miYerushalayim bavela. Bnu batim veshevu venitu ganot veichlu et piryan. Kchu nashim veholidu banim uvanot ukchu livneichem nashim. ואת בנותיכם תנו לאנשים ותלדנה בנים ובנות. ורבו שם ואל תמעטו. ודרשו את שלום העיר אשר הגליתי אתכם שמה. והתפללו בעדה אל השם. כי בשלומה יהיה לכם שלום. The exiled nobles were being drawn by Tzidkiyahu, who was still in Yerushalayim, into a conspiracy of rebellion coordinated with the leaders of other nations oppressed by Babylonia. Yirmiyahu was trying to preempt any insurrection that would only lead to a massacre of the Jews in diaspora. He warns those Jews in diaspora to shun the soothsayers and false prophets who are instigating a rebellion. He encourages the Torah true leadership to ensure the survival of the Jewish people by building family life and religious communities that will prosper if they demonstrate peaceful intentions and cooperate with the Babylonian authorities. Then he assures them in verse 10, "When 70 years are completed for Babylonia, I will come to you, says Hashem, and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place." Radak clarifies that Babylonian dominance would last 70 years, beginning with Nebuchadnezzar's coronation. Thereafter, the Persian Koresh, Cyrus the Great, would rise to power, and he would permit the Jews to return to Zion. Construction of the second Beit Mikdash would begin 70 years after the destruction of the first temple. Then Yirmiyahu explains that the exile to Babylonia, which had seemed so catastrophic, will prove to have been a boon for the Jewish remnant and for Judaism, in verses 11 through 13. Ki anochi yadati et ha-machshavot asher anochi choshev alechem, ne'um Hashem, machshavot shalom velo lera'a, latet lachem acharit v'tikva. Ukratem oti, v'halachtem v'itpalaltem elai, v'shamati elechem. Uvikashtem oti umatzatem, ki tedreshuni bechol levavchem. For I know the plans I have for you, declares Hashem, plans of peace and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me, and you will go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will search for me and find me when you yearn for me with all your heart. Accordingly, Galut is transformed into a place of revelation, Hitgalut. There, among the Goyim, the Jew will either assimilate or, when the anti-Semites rise, remember that he's a Jew after all, and he will search a way to reestablish his bond with Hashem. He then reiterates the promise that once they repent and renew their commitment to Hashem and the Torah, V'nimtzeti lachem ne'um Hashem, ושבתי את שבותכם, וקיבצתי אתכם מכל הגויים ומכל המקומות אשר הדחתי אתכם שם, נאום השם. והשיבותי אתכם אל המקום אשר הגליתי אתכם משם. I will be found by you, declares Hashem, and I will return your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares Hashem, and I will bring you again to the place from where I caused you to be carried away as captives. Abarbanel pointedly remarks that only the exiles of Babel, who chose to restore their faith and observance, eventually returned to Eretz Yisrael. But Hashem had still not gathered the remainder of Bnei Yisrael, scattered among the nations and dispersed throughout the world. It seems that only the first part of this promise was fulfilled. Furthermore, given that the majority in the kingdom of Yehuda had fallen off the Torah path and had committed horrific sins, including Avodah Zarah and Chilul Shabbat, adultery and incest, murder and theft, why were they banished only for 70 years, a year for each Shemitah they had violated? And if we would argue that Hashem in his infinite love and mercy forgave the sins that seem more severe than Shemitah, why did he not restore the holy vessels, particularly the Aron HaKodesh, to the second Beit HaMikdash? Abarbanel answers some of these questions by parsing the 14th verse into stages, noting the repetition of Ne'um Hashem, which indicates two distinct promises. V'nimtzeti lachem ne'um Hashem, v'shavti et shvutchem, indicates that if the exile Jews, who've understood the dangers of diaspora, began to search for Hashem and yearn for the restoration, he will bring them back to Tzion. This was indeed fulfilled at the end of 70 years. The return to their land was intended to give the returnees an opportunity to observe fully all the mitzvot of the Torah. Freed from persecution and the travails of being strangers in a strange land. In their own country, they will be able to complete the process of tshuva. Only then, when they return and pray for their lost brethren, will Hashem begin to gather the lost tribes, the disaffected souls from all the countries to which they had been scattered. And then they will fulfill V'hashivoti etchem el ha-makom asher hegleti etchem misham. The second and third stages were not fulfilled in the time of the second Beit HaMikdash, and we still hope and pray for the fulfillment of these promises as well. Yirmiyahu reassures the captives in Bavel that they will yet live to see Hikim lanu Hashem nivi'im Bavela. Hashem secured us true prophets even in Bavel. But as for the Jews remaining in Eretz Yisrael and their fickle king, Tzidkiyahu, misled by the false prophets, Yirmiyahu reiterates his earlier forewarning of calamity in verses 17 and 18. I will send on them the sword, the famine, and the pestilence, and will make them like vile figs that can't be eaten. They are so bad. I will pursue them with a sword, with a famine, and with a pestilence, and will deliver them to be tossed back and forth among all the kingdoms of the earth, to be an object of horror and an astonishment and a hissing and a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them. The redundancy in these verses may allude to the fate of those trying to escape the destruction of Yerushalayim by fleeing to the neighboring countries with whom they collaborated when they rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar. As for the false prophets who instigated the rebellion within the exiled community, Hashem pledges that they will eventually be executed by Nebuchadnezzar, who later burned them alive in the presence of their fellow Jews. In the latter part of this chapter, we learn that one of those false prophets sent letters to Tzfanya ben Maasya and other Kohanim in Yerushalayim to slander Yirmiyahu. He spoke falsely in the name of God and in the name of the nobility and demanded that they arrest Yirmiyahu and torture him on the rack and in the dungeons, along with other traitorous, quote, madmen, and prophets. The text of his message continues in verses 26 and 27. Ve'ata, lama ze lo ga'arta b'Yirmiyahu ha'anatoti, ha'mitnabel lachem. Ki al ken shalach eleinu bavel lemor, arukahi, bnu batim, v'shvu, v'nitu ganot, v'ichlu et piryehen. Why have you not rebuked Yirmiyahu of Anatot, who pretends to be a prophet to you, because he has sent us messages in Babylon? Quote, the captivity is long, build houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. But Tzfanya, like other good Jews, had come to recognize that Yirmiyahu was indeed a true prophet. The veracity of his predictions had already been proven when Babylonia had conquered and colonized the Judean kingdom. So he showed Yirmiyahu the letter that had come from Babylonia and warned him that he is still in danger from hotheads plotting a rebellion against Nebuchadnezzar. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Nishmat, Barbara Atlas, Bracha Bat Avraham. She was a beacon of light to all who knew her. Barbara's kindness and generosity had no bounds.